Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Joining us on the line this morning is Dr. Wai Tse Leung, who is a lecturer of Academy of Computer Science and Software Engineering at the University of Johannesburg. A very, very good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Howard, and hello and welcome to your customers.
So here's the thing is we obviously are becoming more aware. We've seen a tremendous amount of influence that some of the big tech companies have, Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, where we've started to see a lot of Google, where we've seen a lot of influence there. We've also seen a struggle with government to not only against some of the tech companies, but also with regard to the citizens. How do we start to figure out how to achieve a balance along the way?
Well, I believe that what the government is trying to do, and I do want to believe that there are very good intentions behind it. If you think mm-hmm. about what's happening during our current lockdown, there's so much fake news doing the rounds. So let's forget about politics just briefly and think about all the, you know, the fake news that's circulating, mm-hmm. Encouraging people, don't do this or do these dangerous things. And, you know, that is something perhaps government would like to have a bit more control over. Obviously, if you think of the situation in other countries where politics is involved, and it's not in the interest of government to have such what they would believe radical speech going around doing the round. Mm. So government, you know, from government's perspective, it's something they would like to have control of. However, I personally feel that regardless of country, this is not just South Africa, governments trying to control tech doesn't always work out. And it's because they think they know that this is something that they could police like people, but technology is not something they understand. And we at this point in time, it's not something we know how to do properly either. The initial belief is with the internet is a creation of tech. It's technology. And so there are people who believe that the best way to police technology is with technology. But as you have mentioned, then is it the big tech companies that do that? Mm-hmm. For example, Facebook. You know, Facebook gets slapped on the wrist all the time. Every time there's a scandal, they get hauled before the U.S. Commission, and then they get told, you've been doing these bad things. We demand you do the following. And it's there where you see government really doesn't know what's going on, because the senators that interview these tech giant representatives, they're asking the most silly questions.
Embarrassing.
And yeah, so it is very embarrassing. And then these are the same people that then come up with these rules and say, this is how you will police yourself. And the tech companies probably are not the most ethical people either. So they obviously are in the name of profit. They will skirt around the requirements and say, well, we're still complying with what you say. So they go through so many loopholes, and that just agitates governments as well. So it's actually a never ending
cycle
battle at this point. Yes, it's not a problem. Your question is a very difficult one to answer at this point. They do believe that, if I can put it this way, government doesn't know exactly how, and I'm not saying just our government, just all governments in general. And technology, we do believe, could be policed better with other technological means, but, you know, do we rely on the tech companies to do it?
You see, the problem is so much of this, you know, the clear areas are always easy. So if somebody's inciting violence or writing something that is very clearly, undisputedly incorrect, well, then it's easy to take action against it. If something is absolutely true, then it's also easy. The problem is that this whole notion of narrative, of obscuring information, it really does become a complete nightmare, because if somebody posts something, I can challenge it without any, with very little basis, and try and find a smart way of using my words to argue why that is in fact harmful, dangerous. And we're seeing this going on. We're seeing this playing out not only on the internet, but we're seeing it playing out in mainstream media as well. The cancel culture problem, if somebody says something or is perceived to be, you know, we don't seem to have a way to deal with this either. And maybe it's a problem that we're expecting tech companies to take this on, whereas they don't have the system. They don't have a rule of law, due process, a legal system where they can say, right, somebody's challenged it. Now here's our tribunal. We're going to, you can bring an argument. You can bring a counter argument. It's all happening behind closed doors. We don't really even know why certain people are removed from a social media site or if a post is removed. You can kind of challenge it, but all you're doing is clicking a button and you never hear from it again. So we clearly haven't figured this out even remotely at the moment.
That is correct, because if you think about, just to give you an example, one of my colleagues, because with all this online learning, one of my colleagues posts videos of his lectures on the internet, on YouTube regularly, and one of his videos was actually flagged and said, no, this is not for children, it's not safe, and they actually blocked it.
Wow.
And for him to challenge it on YouTube, just to click and say, listen, I'm providing all the proof. This is the reason why this is actually a normal, it's a very friendly video. It's actually for students to learn about programming. I think it took him forever to just get it unblocked.
I'm trying to imagine, you know, a programming video that is interesting enough to be banned. I can't even picture it.
That's unfortunately, tech is not getting it right all the time. So as I say, technology is supposedly going to solve this because the reason why they say technology is a good way to go about it is because you take the humans out of the equation, you know, no emotions, as you say, as humans, something that a person posts, I might be offended, but you go, I don't see anything wrong with it. But the same technology needs to be told what are those rules and to apply it consistently. The issue is, how do we train that technology and say, this is what I want you to accept and this is what I want you to not accept? And something as innocuous as a programming video was flagged by those very algorithms that say, nope, this is bad. This is very bad stuff.
So to some extent, we're going to start relying more and more on machine learning and artificial intelligence in order to train the systems to pick up something that is problematic.
Yes, the only problem is how are we training them and with what data? Because obviously for machine learning to say, well, this is good and this is bad and I'm learning that this is good and this is bad, someone, a human, had to mark those as these are considered to be bad and these are considered to be good. So as I say, government relies on that. Again, who decided that? Right now it might be tech companies, but it could also be you and I could, if you think about it, maybe you and I could contribute to it by saying, well, let's start helping with marking the data so that when machine learning uses the data for its training, it hopefully isn't as biased as it could be.
As a human is. It's a very, very interesting subject. Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. Dr. Wai Itse-Leong, a lecturer at the Academy of Computer Science and Software Engineering at the University of Johannesburg. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. A very, very important and interesting conversation indeed.